with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. I am back in my seat and I am behind the microphone and I am so excited to welcome, well, he's practically royalty, Baron Bircher. And the name of his book is The Reckoning, and I am so happy to talk to you, Baron.
Well, it's a delight to be here with you.
Well, you know, I love a man in a cowboy hat. Any man in a cowboy hat can get on my program, and you look so good in yours.
Well, I appreciate that very much.
Well, where do I start with you? You are a writer's writer. You are brilliant. I feel humble in front of you because you are something special, I tell you. I know you're award-winning, but I don't think you've won enough awards because your writing is incredible.
Well, that coming from you really means the world.
I have to tell you, I was reading Reckoning. Read your other books too, you send me so many, thank you. But I'm sitting there reading Reckoning, and I'm reading it, and I knew within a page or two that, you know, you're brilliant. I kept going, and I kept thinking to myself, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, this is so wonderful. And then I got to page 50, and I just put the book down, and I started crying. When a book just is so touching. And it was shortly after that scene about the lake and a combination of that story and the way you told it and how you brought your characters to life for me, I just needed to pause. Now, if it hadn't been 11 o'clock in the morning, I might have even needed a shot at Jim Beam. But
well, that might have been what the characters would have done.
That's what happens with me. I'm always influenced by whatever... whatever the characters are eating or reading, so or drinking, and so with Jim Beam, it has a special. It does go down at the right time.
That is a fact.
This series is terrific, and this book is particularly because you just create the atmosphere. We feel like we're there. So you tell us about this book, and tell us about Ty Dawson. The sheriff, well, I tell you, he's a standout character.
Well, he is a really dear character in my imagination, that's for sure. The book is set in the 70s. The series is set in the 1970s, and it's set in rural Oregon. And the world around the people that have been enjoying this lifestyle that is essentially the same as it's been since the turn of the century is suddenly changing now at the dawning of the age of Aquarius. And there's a lot to digest for this small town agrarian community. And that's kind of the atmosphere in which the Ty Dawson mysteries take place.
And decisions are made about this area. They're made in Washington, D.C., where these people don't even know what a cow is anymore.
Well, what's interesting is I don't think that a lot of people know, particularly on the eastern U.S. The western U.S., over 50% of the land is controlled by government agencies. There are some states like Nevada and some others that are in excess of 60% of all of the land in the entire state is controlled and operated by the federal government. So they control who gets the leases in order to graze cattle or to not graze or do anything at all. So there's a considerable amount of control exercised from D.C. over a lot of agrarian businesses.
And they don't know anything, I can tell you.
Well, there's just, if nothing else, there's a sheer distance problem, let alone a cultural problem.
Well, that's why I've always thought that a lot of those agencies should be just broken up and scattered around the country because they don't understand. And I come from northern Michigan. Now, we don't have as much problem, but boy, we have problems. And we sure know that cows need water, you know, like...
Well, they need water and they need some grass to eat. You know, some basics.
Yeah. And if they don't have it, they're going to die. And when you get people like this, and you know, I know that your characters are real because there are real people like this. I've come across some of them, and we have a farm, you know, we don't call them ranches, but we know about regulations and the cruelty sometimes that goes into the decisions that are made.
Well, it's true, and sometimes it's inadvertent, and sometimes maybe not so much. What's interesting about Reckoning is I borrowed a bit of history, real historical events, in order to kind of put guardrails on this story. And by guardrails, I mean, because I'm writing stories about the 70s and because I'm writing fiction, I do like to try to make it remain within the lines what the real world was like in the 70s. As such, if I can kind of tie something to a historical event, then there are, you know, guardrails to the story, so I can't run too far amok. This one borrows some history from a more recent event, which took place in the Malheur Wildlife Refuge in Oregon back in the early 2000s. And if you may remember, there was a takeover of a federal refuge by a handful of people, and the FBI came out, and it turned into a brouhaha. People got killed. It was quite a mess. And this was all fomented by something very, very similar to this, where a federal agency was applying some strong-arm tactics on a cattle ranch.
Yeah, I like that it's set in that era, because, first of all, we don't have techs, and we don't have cell phones, so it's sort of refreshing. I'm getting so many books where half the pages are texts, you know?
Well, yeah, and it's really hard for me now when I'm watching those kind of shows on TV. It's like, I can't read that text right there.
I know. They have it on screen, and they have it now in books. I like it once in a while, but there's a limit. And this, really, I didn't want those cowboys texting. They probably texted now, but...
they would be now, but not my book.
But back then, in your book, they're real. They're real guys, and they're tough, and they're great, and Ty is wonderful. And you write about him, as you said, obviously, this is somebody you love and care about, and all the characters around him. And I like the references to the Vietnam War in the way that you do it, because there was a little bit of a different attitude for the guys who returned, and it was very difficult time for them. They were a little bit more silent about what they went through, and your writing really reflects that.
Well, in other words, there was a societal treatment of those veterans that was considerably different than now, and frankly, shameful. So those guys risked their lives and came home and were treated with a certain amount of scorn and just kind of had to be quiet about it because they weren't allowed to be proud of their service. And you know, it's arguable as to whether we should have been there in the first place and all that other stuff. But regardless of the politics that sent them there, these people went there. They didn't have a choice.
No, they didn't. In those days, they could run off to Canada, I guess.
Yeah, right. You could run away and then, you know, become a girl.
But, Ty is just such a great character. And his wife is fantastic. You know, your book is filled with these delightful little scenes that are so memorable that I know that years from now, I will think about them. I will imagine them. And one of my favorite scenes is just a simple where he comes home for dinner and she's been waiting for him. And you describe him lighting a candle and the teardrop shape of the flame and, you know, how he has a linen napkin and a goblet. And so we're out there in the West, but we know that, you know, these people are really civilized. Sometimes people don't, you know, they're going to imagine that they're all drinking out of tin cans all day long. And I love that. I love that. I love the way it's a simple scene, nothing, you know, it just came to you some way. But it's so real. I loved it.
Well, there's a considerable amount of my dad built into Ty Dawson. So he is a very real character to me in a lot of ways, and he grounds me when I write it.
Well, your dad was something.
Well, he was, and the scene that you're referring to, what I like about Ty and his wife, Jessie, is they really love each other, and they really respect each other. And Jessie is an independent, strong woman in her own right. And I like that Ty, the cowboy sheriff, respects his independent wife as much as he respects his own cowboys. And in the 70s, that wasn't necessarily normal.
I don't know about
that. Well, it was nascent,
yeah,
let's say that.
Yeah, it was. And, of course, they have a daughter, and how she's in the story. Again, all of your characters, all of the people around him are interesting, and of course the story is about, and I won't give it away, but it's about this farmer who's really facing this challenge that his land, he's been cut off from the ability to get water for his cows, and that's a heartbreaking thing. And his name is Casey, and I very, you know, very touching, and I think that's why, you know, when I got to that page 50 and I put the book down, I just was overcome with emotion.
Well, that really means a lot to me, because I like to thread emotion into these books, because it's the third dimension. It's the reality that I like to experience when I'm reading a really good book. I want to get drawn all the way in.
Do you live in this area?
I do. I live in the area that I write about. I live in the Willamette Valley. I'm a little actually north of where Ty Dawson lives, but that's a minor detail. I know the territory well, and I know the weather, and I know how it smells and looks and feels, and I know what the rivers look like. And it's a beautiful place.
You describe it so beautifully, and I think when somebody's reading this book, they're there, and I really felt it. I felt it so strongly. Just the way you described the sky, the trees, everything, it sent my mind, you know, just in a new dimension, and I loved it. I just loved it. And
Thank you.
You know, I get, this happens sometimes when I'm reading a book and I see it so clearly, and I think to myself, oh gee, I wish I would win the lottery, and the first thing I do is I would option this book.
Bless your heart.
And I would film it the right way.
I was going to ask, do we have 10 or 15 seconds where I could just read the opening passage
to
the book?
Yes, that would be fantastic. I would love it. Go ahead.
This is the setup for the book. It's a little prelude before the story proper starts, and it's called A Transitive Nightfall. No child is brought into this world with any knowledge of true evil. This they learn over the passage of time. In my experience as a sheriff and as a rancher, I have found this precept to be true. Time passes nevertheless, even if it passes slowly. Here in rural southern Oregon, sometimes it seemed as if it hadn't moved at all, advancing without touching Meriwether County, except with glancing blows. That is, until the day it caught up with Zol and came down like a hammer.
It was a beautiful paragraph, and when I read it, I was thinking, I want to get the feeling of the author and what they're trying to accomplish, and certainly have accomplished it with this book. You know, you have this philosophical bent of trying to understand human beings. Good luck. but you do accomplish a lot in this book, and of course it also touches on good and evil, and unfortunately, there's a lot of evil out there. And sometimes you wonder how people can treat each other the way they do.
Well, this is the thing that we get to explore when we're writing, especially crime fiction, right?
Yeah, and you do a beautiful job of it.
Well, I really appreciate that. Like I said, coming from you, I know how much you read and how well-read you are. And to hear those kinds of compliments from you is very meaningful to me, and I appreciate it.
What authors influenced you the most?
You know, I have a handful, but they come from a lot of different genres. I like Philip Caputo, who talks about the Vietnam War better than almost anyone I know. I think won a Pulitzer Prize for it. I love the playwright Sam Shepard. I love Cormac McCarthy. And, of course, C.J. Box, contemporary C.J. Box, and Craig Johnson doing the Longmire things. I have a pretty wide breadth of interest in terms of reading. And I love historical fiction. James Michener.
That's one of my favorite. And, of course, C.J. Box has been on the program many times, I think, for every release he's had in the past. I've been on 8 years. I think for every release he's had for the past 8 years, he's been on.
Well, he's terrific, and he captures his world, and you're there.
Definitely. And that's why when I actually thought about C.J. Box when I was reading this book and I was imagining how I would make the movie and how I would work very hard to capture Ty. I just like Ty so much.
Well, I do too. And every time I write a new book, I get to know him better. He reveals himself a little more to me, and his relationship with his wife Jessie and with his daughter Cricket, who's in college and she's facing 1970s issues of her own. And you know, I'm a 70s kid myself, so it's fun to just travel back in time. And if I did these books right, it should be a time machine. And if you were there, it should feel like the real deal.
Exactly. And I've had quite a bit of experience with Vietnam veterans. I've been working on a Vietnam veteran project for years, trying to get it done. And interviewed so many Vietnam vets over the years. That's why I was particularly moved by the way you handled that area, where you're talking about what they went through and what they remember. And that was so good. It was like I was talking to many of the vets that I've spoken to over the years. Sometimes it's overwhelming when you think about what happened there. Because in many ways, one of the things that I think was perhaps worse, and it was what my father said. My father was in D-Day, and he was in Germany. At the end of the war in Europe, came home to America, and he was on leave, and he had 10 days, and he was supposed to head, over to San Francisco to head to the Pacific War.
Oh, my goodness.
And I remember my father said, I could take the other one, but I don't know what I would have done if I had to go into the jungle and be among snakes.
Exactly. I already fought a war.
Yeah, that was too much. And I think sometimes people don't realize how, for American boys to land up in some place like that, there were so many levels of horror.
Well, when we think about just the human experience, we don't have to go to war in order to have psychic scars. If you have a car accident, you could be thinking about that for years, and it kind of colors the way you think about driving. A reality of the human experience. What happens if you are in a shooting war, and what happens if you are terrified to your core in the middle of a jungle or wherever you may be, and you've got hostile enemies shooting at you, trying to kill you, people you don't even know. I think that would color the way you sleep at night for a while.
For a long time. This book is set in the 70s. The problems of the bureaucrats and the corruption has not improved, I don't think.
Well, there was a lot of mistrust in the government that we learned in the 70s. I think a lot of us, myself included, when you hear that the president was recording things and the president's misbehaving and stuff, that doesn't happen. This is America. Sadly, yes, it does.
I know, it does. Obviously, you're having a fun time writing these books.
It's a time machine, Patsy.
Yeah.
It is, for me, I get to go to the office every and disappear into a different time.
I really want everybody out there to... One of the things that I think they will discover from reading your books, all of them, but particularly this one, to sort of stop and think about when they get to that page 50, that we have to know about these things. And if we don't know about these things, if we don't know what's happening, and for me, it's in northern Michigan where they're cutting down all the trees willy-nilly, and they're getting government approval to cut down the trees willy-nilly. On our land, we ache when we cut down the trees that need to be cut down. But we, yeah. I mean, it's hard for us. We can't cut down the trees.
Yeah, even if you're going to use them for firewood, it's like, I'll lose you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We love them. They're doing that in northern Michigan today.
Yes.
It's horrible. They call it biofuel. Honey, right. I'm telling you, you just cut down a walnut tree, for goodness sakes, and you're burning it. You know, they're crazy. They're crazy.
Yeah, if we're worried about CO2 and oxygen and the balance and all that stuff, I think trees are probably a good idea.
But to tell you the truth, just like the officials in your book, the government officials, they don't know cow needs water. They don't know that northern Michigan needs trees.
This is hopefully what I can impart through the Ty Dawson series is, while you and I have been talking here a bit about Vietnam and about the BLM and land management and so forth, while there is a political thread that kind of pulls the story along, it is not a political story, and it's a very action-oriented story, and it's very steep in its time, the 1970s. And it's very Western in its dialogue and experience, I hope. But if you set something in the 1970s, the atmosphere, the air you breathed was rife with all of that stuff. It was all full of Vietnam. It was full of Watergate. It was full of politics. You couldn't avoid it.
You know, the book is, it's so many things on so many levels, and people can just get so much out of this book. It's also this lovely love story that's sort of woven in there, and that makes you feel good. And the patriotism of those people who care about the land, about each other, that also comes out. So I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. The name of the book is Baron Bircher's Reckoning. And Baron Bircher, I think you're terrific.
Well, bless your heart, Patsy, you are too. And thank you for having me on today. Reckoning comes out in September.
Yeah.
It's available for pre-order right now at a discount, by the way.
Okay, that's important.
And there are two prior Ty Dawson novels that came out in the previous years that you can get, of course, and you can catch up. There's time to catch up.
Okay, well, we will. You'll come back in September when it's released, okay?
Absolutely, I would be delighted.
Okay, meanwhile, I'm going to keep telling people to pre-order this book because it is terrific.
Thank you, Patsy, thanks.
It's been a joy to talk to you. Bye-bye now.
Likewise, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.